Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. This morning we ended up at the end of the opening of the third seal. And with the opening of the next seal, which is found in the seventh verse, the Scripture says, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth." Now, the fourth beast makes an announcement. He says, "Come and see. Let me show you. I'm going to reveal to you what is actually being or taking place, as you would, as God's people go through this world. How they are kept. As I've said before, this is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We know that from Romans chapter 8, this is so. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." All God's preachers are commanded, "Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord." Throughout this book, and I think that up till this time, right now, we have seen, though the book of Revelation is to all of us until the Lord opens that book, it's a book that appears to be hidden with great mysteries and really with great fear. If we look at it in the light of all of these things that's happening, but one thing's for sure, for God's people, had no fear, had no condemnation. If we look from this point back, can we not all say it has been good for God's people? God has kept us. Well, let's start again and realize that the opening of the fourth seal brings us up. Remember, the first seal set forth this truth. The rider on the white horse said this: the surety of Christ to conquer His people. To conquer them in the sense of bringing them out. Conquering them while in their sin. Conquering them in their rebellion before Him. The second seal, a man, a rider, a red horse, says this: surely God's people are hated, are despised in this world, but we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The opening of the third seal was a black horse. On the rider of the black horse, it was one he had in his hand, a pair of scales, a measure, a weighing, a balance. And we saw that in that, this is the conclusion of that rider on the black horse with the scale. It's this: Christ is enough. The food of God's people is despised by the world. They say, is that all there is to it? Is He only your hope? That's right. There's nothing else. No, there's nothing else. And in this fourth seal, we're going to see, as Brother Scott just so beautifully brought out, but he said this, and I sum up his statement based on this, and this is what the fourth seal says, we're all going to die. All of us. We're going to die, but not as an unbeliever. Believers will die just like unbelievers in the sense of a physical death. Here the Scripture says in verse 8, I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him. Now listen to this. I want you to understand something. Death here is represented truly in the sense, in one sense, we are going to die. All men are going to die. It's appointed unto man once to death, once to die. So we know that we're going to die, but hell also follows. Death and hell followed him. Well, hell here, the word hell that follows is actually the word Hades. Hades. Hell. The word is actually a place of holding. Is actually the word holding. But it has in its meaning a word of punishment. But this is not for everybody. I want you to look at the wording very good. It says, he that sat on him was death, on the pale horse, and hell followed him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill. You see, for death and hell, their power is limited. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Now from that we realize this. They can do nothing beyond divine permission. Power was given them over a fourth part of the earth. Revelation 1:18, we looked at this just a few weeks ago. The Lord says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. And He says, I have the keys of hell and death. So the believer here is reminded of the certain death that's common to all men. It's appointed unto men. But though hell follows death, he can only affect those that are appointed to wrath. Power was given over them. Turn with me to Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. In Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 19. Ezekiel 14. The Lord says through Ezekiel, if I send a pestilence into that land, pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, he said, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. And you know this. That means when it says their righteousness, in themselves they have no righteousness, but a self-righteousness. It is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. Yet, behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth. Both sons and daughters, behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. and they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings. And you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I've done in it, saith the Lord. So back in Revelation, John said, I saw a fourth horse. And he said, and death and hell followed it. It was like men were dying and death was right there to scoop them up. But there was power given unto them for only a fourth part of the earth. They have a limited power. The Lord said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Death and hell and the grave has no power over those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has died. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 to 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 58. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So John saw the next horse. It's pale. And here's what's being said. Believers are going to go through this life just like everybody else. All men are going to die just like everybody else. But those that death swallows up and hell follows them and grabs them, it's limited only for those that are found outside of Christ. Those found in Him, there's no power over them. So the opening of the next seal reveals something else. Now that's four seals. The Lord's going to conquer. You're going to go through this life. This is how God's going to keep you. Lord Jesus Christ will conquer. You're in this world and you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be caused to see the failings and frailties of this life. The next thing you're going to know is that Christ is going to be enough for you. This is enough. You don't have to have anything else. You don't have to have tongues, and you don't have to have this, and you don't have that. Christ is enough. He's enough. And the fourth thing that you're going to know is you're going to go through this life, and you're going to die just like anybody else. We mentioned this morning of some dear friends that are sick. And we pray the Lord be pleased to heal them if He be pleased to do so. But if He's not, and He takes them, He does so to His honor and to the good of His people. Brings them to Himself. But if He's pleased to take them, I can tell you this. There's some confidence of knowing. I bet you if you talk to Brother Ed Ballard, Brother Todd, those that we were praying for this morning, and there may be some of us that's sitting here, and may be me. I don't know. As far as I know, I'm okay, Neil. But I don't know. Who knows what a day holds. All of a sudden, one day, there it is. Doctor just told you. And all of a sudden, the whole world looks different. But I'll tell you this. If the Lord were to take these men, even that we spoke of today, let me tell you the confidence that I'm sure that they hold. Death has no victory over me. There's no sting of it. There's no victory of the grave. We're more than conquerors through Him. And if we leave this world tonight, we leave with the confidence of knowing that He's able to keep us from falling. Well, the next seal is open. Verse 9 to 11. The Scripture says, and when He had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, John saw in the opening of this fifth seal what I referred to just a moment this morning as the martyrs, those slain for the Word of God. As I brought out this morning, a martyr, the word martyr means a witness or a spectator of something. That's what a martyr actually is, a witness or a spectator. Now, though we associate the word martyr as being one slain or physically killed for his belief, again, as we brought out this morning, all believers are actually martyrs in the sense of being witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ and for Christ, who voluntarily lay down their life for Him. Just turn back a few pages to Hebrews 11:36. Hebrews 11:36. This is that chapter that we refer to as the roll call of faith. Hebrews 11:36. It says, And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, the Scripture sets forth that there are those that actually have died physically. Mark 8:35 says this, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, For whosoever will save his life will lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now I want you to notice something. These back in Revelation 6, they are said to be, when he opened the fifth seal, they says that they were actually under the altar. Well, the first thing that I know about these martyrs, and remember, all believers are martyrs. All of them are martyrs. Whether they died the death of the sword or pestilence or sawn in two or hung, whatever happened to them, they're all martyrs because, as we read this morning, we die daily. Kill daily. The attempt of men that hate believers is that they attempt to separate them from the love of Christ. But these that are seen by John are to be seen under the altar. So I know, first of all, that they are eternally secure. They're under the altar of Almighty God. And what are they crying? What are they saying? John says, I opened up this seal. And here in verse 10, they were crying with a loud voice. And this is what they were saying. How long? How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Actually, what they're doing is crying out for Christ's justice to be done to them for Christ's glory. They're saying now, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not avenge our blood on them? But what are they truly saying? They're truly saying, Lord, you avenge yourself. How do I know that? Because Matthew 25:40 says, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. These that are under the altar are crying for vengeance. Now, truly, the blood of all saints cries out for justice. Matthew 23:34. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them shall kill, and shall ye kill and be crucified, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The blood of the saints cries out for justice. These that are seen under the altar, the Scripture says that John heard, were robed in white robes. And I'm going to tell you in just a minute, I'm just kind of building this base to show you exactly what's being set forth in the opening of this fifth seal. What it actually is, I'll give you a hint right now. In the opening of the fifth seal, actually what's being set forth is the long suffering of Christ for His people. That's what's actually being said. That's what's actually being set forth. But John opens this up, and he sees those that were slain for the gospel's sake. And they're crying out, how long? How long? They're robed in white robes. They've been given the robe of Christ, righteousness. And they're told by the Lord Jesus Christ, when they say, how long? How long are you not going to avenge our blood? He tells them, he says, rest yet for just a season. Rest. All departed saints have entered into rest. Their temptations have ceased. Their trials are over. But their fellow servants, the Lord told them, and He told them, He said, just rest for a little while until their fellow servants, their brethren, that should be killed, martyred, physically or not physically. Remember, we're all killed. We're all killed. We're killed. All of us. As they were, should be fulfilled. You see, the Lord knows His sheep. There are some departed saints. And I can tell you, based on the authority of the Word of God, they're in rest right now. John says he saw them under the altar, close, in the presence of God Almighty. And they cry, how long? How long? Avenge us. He tells them, he said, rest just a little while longer. All of your fellow servants, all of your brethren, there's some yet to be brought. They're all known. They're all loved. They're all recorded in the book of life from the foundation of the world. But until all His elect have been born and regenerated and brought to Himself, judgment cannot come. The Lord upholds and sustains this sin-cursed world for His honor and for the good of His sheep. How long, Lord? How long are we going to stay? How long before You avenge? He said, just wait. Wait just a little season, just a little while. Just rest. You rest. You rest. Just rest till your fellow servants, till your brethren come. Just wait. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, how many times have we read this scripture? The Lord is not slack as some the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why is He waiting? Why does He wait? Why is there now a continuation of this world? Why are we here tonight? Why? If all of God's sheep have been called out of darkness, it's over. It's over. Let me tell you the encouragement that I have. It may be that there's one of God's sheep that's in this community right now. And if He sustains Katy Baptist Church, it'll be for the good of His sheep in the calling out of His elect. Who knows? It may be one of yours. Maybe one of your kids. Maybe your husband, your wife. Who knows? How long? Avenge us! Avenge us! Just wait. This gives me some encouragement to think. The Lord has a people. And I know this, that what we're preaching, the setting forth of the gospel of free grace, I know this word's not going to return void. He can take, as I heard some men say, He can take the guttermost and bring them to the uttermost. You look at the most vile and the most rejected and the least likely candidate, in your opinion or in my opinion. Who do you think would be the least one that we know of that God would call out of darkness? I'm going to tell you something. That may be the one right there. Who knows? How long? How long? Just rest. It's okay. Believers, this is the lot that we have. Why do we continue on? Why do we go through? Why is this world happening like it is today? God Almighty's purpose shall stand. His people shall be called. Just rest. Just relax. Everything's okay. Everything's perfect, perfect order. Well, in the opening, as I said, there's seven seals to be opened. Six of them are opened in this chapter right here. And let's look at the last one, the sixth seal. Not the sixth seal to be opened. I mean, the last seal to be opened, but the last seal of this chapter. The opening of the sixth seal. Now, when we begin to read this, I'm going to tell you, and I admit, and I want to speak with honor, and I want to speak with clarity, but I want to speak with some revelation especially. I want to set forth those things that are consistent. It is a fearful thing for me to stand in this pulpit and to think that there would be something that knowingly I said that was inconsistent. I would perish the thought of me saying something inconsistently. And as long as there is consistency, and we look into the Scriptures and we see how what's being said is so, then we can relax there. We rest. It's only when something's said and it's kind of out there and kind of dangling, and you know, you're thinking, I don't know if I can, you know, just for a believer, they want to hear Christ, show me Him, show me my security in Him, and I can rest there. I can relax there. So I said all of that because when the opening of the sixth seal, I'm going to tell you that there are some things that are set forth in this sixth seal that appears to have reference to the last judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do understand that there's going to be a final judgment. Don't even think that there's not going to be. There is going to be. And it's that's not even up for debate. And some of the events that we're going to look at here in these next few verses seem to favor that thought. Without a doubt, it seemed to, favor the final judgment. But there's some things here that I've looked at and I considered and prayed about and sought the Lord. There's some really nice commentaries that you can read, and a man is just like me or anybody else. He can know it, but I'm going to tell you something. There's only one revealer, and it's the Spirit of God that teaches a man. So I said all of that to say that I walk into these next few verses very, very cautiously and pray that God would give me and you some insight into what's being said. I know that there's going to be a final judgment. And I know, as I said, that the next few verses seem to favor or could favor that thought. But I remember this too, that there is yet another seal to be loosed after this sixth seal, and judgment to be wrought later in the book of the Revelation concerning final judgment. One of the other things too, and I'm doing now is sharing with you some of the way in which I came to the conclusion that I did. We'll look in just a moment, we'll look at the final judgment. It takes place over in the latter chapters of this book. But one of the things that caused me to come to the conclusion, just look, and Lord willing, we'll be here next week, but look at chapter 7, verses 1 to 4. It says, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow upon the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we've sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000, all the tribes of the children of Israel." Now, if I know that in the next chapter, the next thing that's going to happen is there's going to be some that's going to be sealed, kept in the midst of the tribulation of going through this world. And we'll talk about great tribulation as we come to that. But if I know that they're going to be, it's coming up, that some's going to be sealed, if it was the final judgment, you see what I'm saying? If it was a final judgment at the end of chapter 6, what's happening in chapter 7? So I said all that to say what I'm about to say. All right. It says in verse 12 through the end of the chapter, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Well, these verses seem, in keeping again with the context of the decrees of God that are being set forth or revealed by Christ concerning the elect's preservation and perseverance in this world, this is in keeping with the sheep kept in the midst of the presence of wolves. Now, all of these six seals that's been opened, it's come right down. We've seen how God keeps His people in the midst, keeps them in the midst. And this sixth seal, I truly think, the Scripture is setting forth, this is how God's people are kept right now. And what just was described is being going on or happening right now. You say, wow, what is it? Well, first of all, John says, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, remember that this book is a book of visions. There's things that John has seen that represent or set forth a truth. So this earthquake is not necessarily a literal earthquake, but what it means is that God sent forth a great shaking of all that appeared to men to be stable. There is in every believer, in the life of every believer, of every age, tares among the wheat. And God sends tribulation and trials that shakes the very foundation of what men think is actually unshakable. Surely, you don't think that it could be that something that is so stable as what we've held for years and years and years, surely God would never remove a Metropolitan Tabernacle out of London. Surely He wouldn't, Brother Scott. But He did. There was a great shaking. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me show you something. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together with Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be... And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, the Scripture says that John said, I saw when that sixth seal was opened, there was an earthquake, there was a mighty shaking. And Paul said over in 2 Thessalonians, now don't you be shaken in mind. There'll be some that'll be shaken, but don't you be shaken in mind. He said there was a a mighty earthquake. And he says, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Black. That is, the light was withheld to be darkness to unbelievers. The sun, there it was, just brightness. John said, I saw it was a mighty shaking, and the sun was blackness. Just black. There it is. You say to an unbeliever, let me ask you this. Listen to this word, the next verse that I read in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Would have said this if I'd have read it. But we are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification and belief of the truth. We're bound to give thanks. God chose you. God gave you a heart. God opened your heart. Look at that sun. Do you see that sun right there? And the unbeliever says, I don't see nothing. I don't see anything. John is being told that the believer will go through this world. And he says, don't be shaken in your mind. He said, there's going to be some that's going to look straight or to hear the gospel just like you hear, and the light's going to be darkness to them. He said, I saw, and the sun became black as sackcloth as hair. And the moon, he said, was blood. What's a moon? Well, it's an object that reflects light. That's what the moon is. We are reflectors. The light does not emanate from us. The light is Christ Himself. We are the reflected light. We are the light of this world, but remember this. We don't produce the light. We set forth the light. We're the salt of the earth. But the moon became as blood. It speaks of those, again, who are killed, literally, murdered, or murdered in their character. Those that serve God think that they, I mean, those that hate God think that they're doing God service. He told John, he said, this is what's going to happen when you go through this world, the sixth. He said, you're going to find there's going to be a great shaking. The very foundation of all you thought was stable. What you thought was stable. You're going to be finding out that things are not always as stable as you thought that they were. There'll be those, he said, and I'll tell you what I'm talking about. There'll be some that'll look straight into the sun and it'll be blackness to them. They'll hate you. The moon will be darkness. And he says in verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Who are these stars? Well, I can tell you that I know that there are those that appeared to be stars, or lights in darkness, actually, who weren't, who were revealed to be what they actually were, unbelievers that fell from their so-called lofty position. How do I know that? Because it says that these stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her. You see that word untimely figs right there? You may look in your margin and it says green figs. Green figs. When she is shaken of a mighty wind. John was told when the sixth seal was opened, he said, listen, you're going to go through this world and you're going to find out that God Almighty is going to shake the very foundation of everything that you think is stable. And He's going to show you that there's only one that you can depend on. And He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put your faith and foundation or trust in a man. Now, you can trust a man as long as that man is consistent with the Scriptures. But if that man in any way deviates from the Scriptures, from the Word of God, you're going to find out he was a wolf. in a sheep's clothing. The sun's going to be blackness to them. They'll hate you. The moon will be red. The stars of heaven fall to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. Green figs. Figs that never matured. They fell when they were shaken and exposed by, the Scripture says here, shaken of a mighty wind. The Spirit-blessed gospel. The Word of God. He said, you're going to find out. As I heard one man say one time, there will be those in that time that we thought surely would be there. And those that we thought wouldn't be there were. I heard Brother Henry Mahan say that. Never forgot that. And then verse 14 to verse 17 sets forth that final state of a judgment, not final judgment, that's not the word I should have used, but a state of judgment that some are already under. Verse 14 says, the heavens departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of his places. Now these words are actually written, I want you to notice this, in the present tense, for God views all men, inside and out of Christ, as they truly are. All men that are in Christ, there's no condemnation. Without Christ, they're condemned already in John chapter 3. John 3:18. John 3:18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light, you know, the sun that was made to be darkness, this is the condemnation, that lights come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The Scripture says the heaven departed as a scroll. God Almighty is going to reveal Himself through the preaching of the gospel, through preachers that He sent. He's going to teach. And every mountain and island is going to be moved out of its place. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now, I want you to notice something. What's happening right now, is that men are attempting to hide themselves from Christ. Now, in that final judgment, there won't be any hiding. Well, there won't be any hiding. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody is going to be standing before Him. They'll all be there. It won't be, but right now, there's those that look into the sun and it's darkness to them. They appear as though, maybe for a while, to be stars of heaven. But the Lord says, I'll shake the very foundation, and the scroll, heaven will be opened up. And those that are not in Christ, in time, they'll fall. God's going to expose them. You'll see them for what they are. But here, these are hiding themselves in dens in the rocks of the mountain. This is what they're actually doing right now. They're actually trying to cover their sins. Hiding in the dens and the mountains of false religion. That's what they think. I got a hiding place. I found me a cubby hole. I got me. Moses said to the Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord says, no man can see my face and live. I'll hide you. I'll put you. Where? I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. And I'll pass by. You'll see me. You'll see my hinder parts, is what He said. You can't see me. I'll put my hand over you, cover you. I'll have to be revealed to you. You can't see me. You have to have me revealed to you. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. But what does a man outside of Christ said? They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said, fall on us, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You see, they're trying to cover themselves, provide themselves a hiding place. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins, he's not going to prosper. Fall on us. Actually, the word there, fall on us, means judge us. Fall on us. Fall on us in judgment is what it means. What are they actually saying? We're crying out, they say, fall on us. Let our hiding place be our judgment. That's what they're saying. Let our hiding place. I made a covenant with death. That's what it says over in the Scriptures. You made a covenant with death. You're okay. You know, you went to a Billy Graham crusade. You walked down the aisle. You know, you shook the preacher's hand. You made your, you know, prayed the sinner's prayer. You made a profession of faith. You know, I remember back when I was 17 years old, you know, it was on Sunday evening. I remember that. And you made a covenant with death. And what they're saying, he says, they're trying to hide them. They hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks, and that's what they're doing right now. And they say to these mountains and rocks, what they're saying to them, they're saying, you fall on us. You hide us. You be our protection. Fall on us. Hide us. Conceal us. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Let me tell you what's being revealed here. Almighty God is revealing, though they think that they have a hiding place, He says, this is what they're actually saying. I'm not going to have this man rule over me. Hide us from him. I won't have him. I'll find my own place, thank you. I'll be just fine. I'll be okay. You hide us. Turn over to Revelation 20. This will be the last verse. Oh, friend, believe me, this is going on right now. If you think that men don't think in their heart that they have a hiding place that they have provided, the Son of righteousness, the glorious gospel of free grace, it's darkness to them. The Lord says, I'll shake the very foundations. How will I do it? He'll do it with the Word of God. They'll be as untimely figs that'll fall. They find themselves hiding in the dens and in the rocks. They're like rats that love darkness. They get them a place and they just hide in a little old cubby hole, and I say, I'm doing just fine. They say to these mountains and rocks that they have provided, you fall on, you judge us, you be my judge. You know how faithful I've been to you. You know how many years I've been here. I've been in this church all my life. You judge me, is what they're saying. Fall on me, judge me, you be my judgment. Hide us from the face, the great day of His wrath. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. It says, and I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them, no place of hiding. And I saw the dead, small and great. Now look here, now they weren't hiding in their false security anymore, Neil. There wasn't any dens anymore. They wasn't going to say anymore, Carl, you be our judgment. I'll tell you what they're doing now. They're standing before God. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to leave you with one thought. In that great day, all men outside were found standing outside of Christ, were found standing before the great white throne. There was no judgment that day for the elect. Why? Because they'd already been judged in a substitute. They were in Christ, who at Calvary, Paul says, I was crucified with Him. And this day, right here, today, there are many who look at the gospel of free grace, the gospel of Christ, the Son Himself, the Son of righteousness. He's darkness to them. They're treated with disrespect. They're hated. They're despised because men would separate them from the love of Christ. But there's coming a day when those like stars, lights that appear to be lights, they're going to fall from heaven as untimely figs, green figs, that's going to fall that never matured. God Almighty didn't mature them. They're going to be hiding in the dens and in the caves and the mountains. They're going to say, you judge me. You judge me. You hide me. That's what they're saying in their heart. Just like all those that despise the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'd say to them, why think ye evil in your heart? What to hide us from Him that sits on the throne. That's what they're saying. I'm not going to have you. I won't have you. But in this day, all men outside of Christ, they're going to be judged. They're going to be judged. But for the believer, their judgment was settled. Settled. The substitute, the Lamb, the one slain that John saw, when he heard that great angel said, who's worthy to open the book? And it says, and no man, nobody, no creature, no created one was found worthy to reveal what God Almighty has decreed in the keeping, protecting, sustaining of His people. And John said, and I wept. No man, nobody. And he said, and behold, a lamb, once slain, stood up and took the book. And when he did, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before him, and he said, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Why? Because you were slain. You paid our debt. You're worthy. Show us, Lord. Reveal to us how you keep us, how you sustain us in this world for your honor and for your glory and for our good. Our Father, this day, how thankful we are that you would allow us just a moment to be able to come together and hear afresh one more time. Lord, would you teach us how you are keeping us, how you're saving us, how you're preserving us, and how thankful we are again for your mercy and grace when we realize that all that is unstable, all that is not found on the rock, shall be shaken. We realize that our hope is based on nothing less than the righteousness and the blood of Christ. Our hope is not as the sand. It's not as though we've been built upon the sand when the rains come and the winds beat because there's no foundation. We know that we are built on Him who is the rock, our hope. Lord, teach us as we go through your book. Show us of yourself. Teach us of yourself. Keep us and realize that, cause us to realize that our hope is totally that we've been hidden in you, kept in you for your sake and your honor. We thank you for these things. Amen. All right. You're dismissed.